All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Today is February 27th, 2026. And this is one of those mornings where it was really hard to come up with a title for this live stream because there is a lot going on in the world of finance this morning. Here they are in no particular order. Stocks are down this morning after a slew of mixed earnings last night from tech companies. But the big one, it happened just moments ago, the Producer Price Index, or PPI, which measures inflation further upstream from the much more highly publicized CPI, which most of us would argue is rather doo-doo, a flawed statistic. We haven't really believed it very much, especially since the end of the government shutdown, as CPI had been heading lower, while the other measure of inflation, PCE, had been heading higher. All right, so PPI this morning came out, and everybody was really shocked by this. Some of you may not be so shocked because you live in the real world and you realize what the cost of living has done, but it was just much higher than expected. The headline number came in at 2.9% versus a 2.6% expectation, down a little bit from the 3% last month, but the market was expecting it to be down a lot of it, and it wasn't. And all the other statistics, the month-over-month number, the core numbers, all went sharply higher. I mean, the worst. Look at core PPI came in at 3.6%. The market was expecting 3% year over year. They got 3.6. All right, and that is up rather sharply from 3.3% last month. Guys, when PPI, when core comes in sharply higher than expected, sharply higher than headline PPI, especially because core strips out food and energy, that's tariffs, guys. That is tariffs finally showing up in the inflation numbers. And it kind of makes sense, right? We had a lot of inventory was ordered at the beginning of last year ahead of the tariffs. Everybody was worried about prices going up. So they bought all that stuff in ahead of it. Then the tariffs hit. And of course, everybody stopped ordering. There was the Liberation Day panic. And then we waffled around back and forth while trade deals were negotiated and not negotiated and reneged on and all the silly drama of the last few months. And then we saw when we had Craig Fuller from FreightWaves on the channel last fall, we saw a surge in activity on the roads, a big surge in all the freight indexes. You could tell that pre-tariff inventory had finally been worked through and that companies were starting to order again. And well, now that they've placed those orders, we're learning that turns out tariffs do in fact increase prices. And who pays them? You may be shocked to learn it wasn't China who paid them. That was a silly political talking point all along. How about we talk to people like they're adults, everybody? Okay, how about we admit, yes, prices are going to go up, but the goal is to bring back good jobs to the country? I think Americans are generally mature enough to understand that concept. Whether they agree with it or not, they'll at least understand what you're trying to tell them. Instead of lying and says, China's going to pay the tariffs. No, it wasn't China. Sorry, it was U.S. producers, and you can see it in the PPI numbers today. And when they came out, stocks puked a couple hundred points. Silver started ripping as soon as those numbers came out, right to $92, that key technical level that we were talking about for the last 2 days. Oh, it looks like it's time for another glitch at the CME because silver is threatening a technical breakout on this news. PPI, not good. Not good this morning. Also not good this morning, CoreWeave's earnings. And when I say they were not good, let me rephrase that. They were hot garbage. And well, it was a good time last night. I had a fantastic time going through CoreWeave's earnings. As you may recall, I have been warning about this company since September of 2023 that these guys are financial degenerates and companies like this is where money goes to die. And everybody's like, nah, bro, my bubble, pile in, YOLO into zero DTE calls. Well, the good news is their revenue beat. That's the good news, all right? CoreWeave's revenue, $1.57 billion versus $1.55 billion expected. All right, my revenue, cue the talking points about we are compute constrained, the insatiable demand for AI workloads, and throw in a bunch of stuff about agents in our stack and our workflows and whatever corporate talking points. CNBC just loves to run with that garbage. Am I right, CNBC? The sell side quacks over there. We're actually trying to make this sound like a good quarter last night. So let's talk about what was really in those earnings. The slight problem, we lost $452 million at CoreWeave. That is a loss that has more than quadrupled since just the last quarter. They lost $110 million in the quarter that ended in September. They quadrupled their losses in 3 months. Holy shit, that's terrible. I mean, this company is a cash-burning furnace. And I realize in 2026, amidst the AI bubble, describing something as a cash furnace, that's kind of an unused talking point. But oh my God, they lost $452 million on revenue of $1.57 billion. These guys aren't profitable. They're not even close, and they're getting worse. In other words, what I've been saying for years, their debt grew by more than $4 billion in 3 months, even though NVIDIA gave them $2 billion. They still had to borrow another four. And this is the great thing. Their revenue was good, right? Revenue increased. It was up by $200 million. They increased their revenue versus the last quarter. The problem, their accounts receivable increased by $1.92 billion. So somebody want to explain to me how when revenue is increasing at something like 7 to 9, or when accounts receivable is growing 7 to 9 times faster than revenue, why don't one of you guys enter that into a chatbot and say, what might that suggest, or what might an accountant interpret that as? And let's just simple one word answer: crime. All right. Accounting fraud is a hell of a drug. That's all I can tell you. Accounts receivable up by $1.9 billion when revenue is rising by $200 million. That means all this revenue that they're reporting, they have not collected it yet. They just sent the bill to the customers, many of which don't make any money. Are they going to collect on that? Maybe. It's also indicative of channel stuffing. Oh, just hurry up and send out the invoice so we can report it as revenue. That's how the accounting works. Oh, boy. So where did all CoreWeave's money go? That stock is getting clobbered this morning, by the way. Where did all the money go? Dell reported earnings right about the same time. And we know where CoreWeave's money went, because Dell reported fantastic earnings. Record revenue of $33.4 billion. They guided for a 103% increase in revenue for 2027. They raised their dividend by 20%. They raised their stock buyback by $10 billion. Hey, it turns out when your customers have no regard for how much money they're losing, it's actually really good for your business. So yeah, we know where CoreWeave's money's going. Also, we got breaking news this morning. OpenAI is going to raise $110 billion at a $730 billion valuation. Ooh. That's $730 billion. That's interesting, because everything I read said they were trying to raise $100 billion, so they got an extra $10 billion there, but they were trying to get a valuation of $800 billion. Actually, the text that was put out there was $750 to $800 billion was the valuation they were seeking, according to people with knowledge of the matter who asked not to be identified. Well, they only got a $730 billion valuation. That's interesting. They had to lower their price to get the money. Also, the usual suspects: Amazon, SoftBank, NVIDIA. All right. The circle jerkonomics continues. Everybody's giving money to their customers so their monies can give it right back to them. No money from the Middle East. Nope. Didn't hear anything about that. Remember, Sam Altman was sent over to Abu Dhabi. He was going to raise all this money from the oil sheiks. Apparently, they told him to pound sand, of which there is ample supply of sand to pound in the Middle East. We got Block earnings yesterday. Nobody really cared about the earnings. All everybody cared about was what's Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter, his company. They're laying off 40% of staff. And they're telling us, don't worry, we're cutting 40% of staff. It's all because of AI, because AI is so awesome. Definitely not because Block is heavily invested in Bitcoin, which is down 50% over the last 3 months. Definitely not because other fintechs are eating alive their business. Definitely not because the Cash App is a wretched hive of scum and villainy where scammers reside, and they're under all kinds of pressure from regulators to clean that up. Definitely has nothing to do with buy now, pay later, and the fact that I think all these companies are hiding how many of these people are not paying back their loans. No, they're cutting their company in half because AI is so cool. All right. Wait, we're hearing a lot about that. And Sam Altman himself said companies are AI washing their layoffs, trying to hide how their businesses are struggling by just blaming all these people they're cutting on AI. Maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe there's some truth to the fact that maybe they are actually cutting people. We don't know. All we know is every time somebody loses their job, it's because AI, until proven otherwise. We've got Netflix has dropped their deal for Warner Brothers. They told Paramount, you can have it. We're not raising our price. The U.S. military's anti-drone lasers work really well. That's the good news. The bad news is the U.S. military's anti-drone lasers work really well. They shot down one of their own drones over Fort Hancock, Texas recently. Oh, guys, that is going to become an increasing issue as the cartels get froggy. And, of course, the whole thing with the Chinese probably not going to go well either. That is going to be a nightmare for commercial aviation. What else we got? More Anthropic problems with the Pentagon. Market Financial Solutions is a private lender in the UK that has gone bankrupt. And, well, they've gone into administration. That's the word for it. Guys, this is, I don't know if this is private credit. I guess you could call this private credit. And I guess the only question I have is, how do you say cockroach in British? I don't know, but that one's going on. We'll be talking about that with Lox Ganapathy later today in an interview that I'll probably run tomorrow. But we're looking forward to asking Lox about that one. She's been all over the private credit space. And an Apollo private credit fund just marked down their loans and cut their dividend. Another one. That's like the third one this week. Guys, there is a lot going on this morning. We're going to shrink my big melon of a head. And hey, don't forget that like button and that subscribe button. And also link down below in the description. Don't forget your tickets to George Noble's Best Stock Ideas Summit on March 11th, where yours truly will be presenting. Right now, the S&P 500 is lower by 59 points, 0.85% in the red. We got a little bit of a sell-off here in the S&P 500 on that PPI news that came out right around the same time as that OpenAI valuation story. So I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure PPI is why stocks are down this morning, but they were already down quite a bit. The Dow is off by 521 points, 1.05% in the red. And the NASDAQ is down by 0.99%, 250 points in the red. It's interesting that the NASDAQ, although it's down less than the other indexes. So tech is outperforming here. I find that pretty odd because there's a lot of bad news going on in tech right now. So it's a little interesting to see the NASDAQ outperforming. The dollar is lower by 3 basis points here, 97.76. At 8:30, we did get a little bit of a spike in the Dixie. That was that in higher inflation print coming out. Maybe some people were adjusting their Fed expectations. That has since given back most of those gains. Looking over at the bond market, we got yields are mostly lower here. The 30-year, 4.638, down by 3 basis points. The 10-year at 3.981, that's down by 3.5 basis points. The 2-year is also off by 3.5 points at 3.412. But the 1 month is actually up a point and change at 3.689. Watch the bond market today. I think a lot of people are going to be digesting that PPI. There's going to be a lot of talk about tariffs drove costs higher. Oh, but the Supreme Court struck down the tariffs. Oh, but then President Trump put them right back on. We're going to go around in circles here wondering what the inflationary impulse of the tariffs is going to be. Is it a one and done? Is it going to be an ongoing thing? We don't know, but we got the one. Is the done coming right behind it, or is it going to accelerate? We just got to wait and see for a few more months. Bitcoin is in the red this morning, trading at $66,165 on Coinbase, off by about $1,300 from yesterday. And looking at commodities, the metals are enjoying that higher PPI print. Spot gold, $5,227, up by $42.10, or 0.81% in the green this morning. April COMEX gold futures at $52.44, higher by $50 and change, almost 1% higher for COMEX gold. And silver right there, $92.02, right at that technical level, up $3.71 for spot, 4.2% higher. March COMEX futures right there, $92.02, higher by $5, 5.77%. I like the shiny. We are going to look at the chart in just a moment, but first, copper is higher by 1.4%. Platinum is ripping up 6% this morning. Palladium lagging a little bit, still higher though, 2.1% higher. And crude oil, crude oil up by 3.7%, $67.61. Coincidentally, U.S. citizens are being removed from the embassy in Israel. That whole like non-essential personnel, get your people out just in case missiles start flying. Chinese personnel are being taken out of Iran. Everybody's getting in place. Why? Because wars usually start on Friday, but not until after the market closes, because we like to have our wars when people aren't trading stocks. We just find that there's less chance of an incident that way. Good luck with your bombing. I hope your killings go very well, everybody. And The oil market seems to think this is happening. I hope it doesn't. The oil market, I mean, I'm making jokes about this, guys, but oil rising $2.50 here on a day when there's generally bad economic news, that's not good. All right, we said we were going to look at silver. And look, there's that red line, that $92 mark, roughly 92 and change. I mean, as soon as that PPI came out, these are hourly candles, by the way. As soon as that PPI came out, we ripped right up to that level and stopped, and now we're trading right around it. All right, now let's zoom out a little bit. Why do I think that level is important? Because that level was the high of the dead cat bounce that we got on February 4th following that brutal sell-off that we got at the beginning of February, end of January timeframe, when all the leverage in the silver market unwound and silver sold off from the 120s all the way down into the 70s. All right, we bounced and we hit that level. Now, gold has already broken out from its February 4th dead cat bounce high. So gold, it looks to be onward and upward to bigger and better things. Silver has somewhat lagged in that recovery. So I've been waiting for silver to confirm the move in gold before I get uber bullish precious metals again. Well, we're right at this level, and you know we were approaching that level just 2 days ago, and then all of a sudden the CME says, whoops, sorry, technical glitch, everybody. We're going down for maintenance, and then as soon as they came back up, silver sold off $4. Well, we're back to that level now again. Are we going to have another technical problem today? I guess we're just going to have to wait and see, but I like the shiny. All right, let's talk inflation. United States producer price inflation. This measures inflation further upstream from the consumer, and it rose by 2.9% for the month of January. All right, that is slightly lower from the 3% print we got in December and November, and that's really the extent of the good news, that it was only slightly lower because it was a lot higher than expected. The market was expecting PPI, the headline number, to drop all the way to 2.6%. Year over year, it only went to 2.9. And the news gets worse from here. Look at the month over month numbers. Yikes, that's not a good trend, guys. Starting in October, we were 2.9, then 3.1, then 3.3, now 3.6. Hey, I'm detecting a pattern here. The market was expecting 3% even. We were supposed to drop. And instead, we increased, and we increased a lot month over month. This number is not looking good. And guys, this absolutely is the effect of the tariffs finally showing up in inflation, which means this will probably show up in CPI in later months, assuming CPI ever gets its act together. The consumer price index at 2.4% last month was just not a believable number. It did not pass the sniff test. And PPI and PCE are both saying the same thing. Inflation is going in the opposite direction of what CPI is telling us. Now, here you can see it even worse. The consumer price index, or the core, not consumer, the core PPI. What do I have here? Okay, unfortunately, I bought up month over month twice. Give me a minute to fix my mistake. Where's core PPI year over year? Here we go. Core PPI year over year climbed to 3.6%. All right, the market was expecting 3% even. We were expecting it to drop from the 3.3% we got last month. Instead, it increased. Again, this trend is not our friend here. And you can see, look, the producer price index was a lot higher in February and March. That's when we were cramming everything in ahead of the tariffs. And then it dropped and stayed low rather, you know, for pretty much most of last year while all the tariff waffling was happening. Now we're trending back up because all that inventory we ordered at the beginning of last year has now been sold through. We've got to replace it, and we got to pay the tariffs when we replace it. And you can see it even more in the month-over-month number. We came in at 0.8% for PPI, core PPI, month-over-month. Guys, when we zoom out, that 0.8%, you can put it into context here. Okay, we briefly touched that in July of last year. Before that, you got to go all the way back to 2021, 2022, during the height of the inflation. And even then, we only had a couple of prints that were higher than 0.8% during the rip in inflation of 21 and 22. The inflation numbers are going in the wrong direction. Now, the question, again, the general consensus among the academics, who are wrong as often as they're right, I would add, but the general consensus is that the inflationary hit from tariffs will be a one-off. We will see a step change in inflation, and then it will level off, that it won't be an ongoing thing that will build and compound on itself. All right, now these are the same people who gave us transitory, but there is some logic to it, right? Tariffs aren't constantly rising. Tariffs is a one-time increase in prices, and then it stops. It never goes away, but inflation is a rate of change. Well, it looks like we're going to test that theory because we've been rising for 2-3 months now. Not good here. And this is partially driving that run in metals this morning. All right, let's talk about my favorite company in the whole wide world. CoreWeave share slide after heavy spending alarms investors. CoreWeave fell as much as 12% in early trading after reporting a bigger than expected loss and boosting capital expenditures, spurring concerns about the company overspending on infrastructure. They did boost their capital expenditures, but last year's CapEx came in lower than they had forecast, suggesting data center delays are ongoing. See also that story about how they couldn't get funding from Blue Owl for that project in my backyard here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I don't know why I said California there. For some reason, I hear CoreWeave, I think California. It's a New Jersey company. But the loss widened to 89 cents a share in the fourth quarter, the company said in a statement. Oops, sorry, guys, we lost $452 million. That loss quadrupled from the prior quarter, but don't worry, our business is awesome. Analysts had estimated a 72-cent loss. Revenue rose to $1.57 billion compared with $1.55 billion predicted. The company, an operator of AI data centers, also said that 2026 capital spending will be $30 to $35 billion, a bigger figure than analysts expected. Oh, don't worry. If you liked our losses, they're going to get even bigger, the company says. Apparently, that's meant to make us feel better. The company has also been adding to its debt load and is looking to raise another $8.5 billion from banks, including Morgan Stanley and Mitsubishi, to help finance a build-out of cloud computing capacity for Meta, the people familiar with the matter said. CoreWeave has dramatically ramped up borrowing in recent years, joining an industry-wide debt binge that has unsettled some investors. The company's adjusted leverage, a measure of debt to earnings, stood at 6.9 times. That is disgustingly high, a leverage ratio of 6.9. Also, that is an adjusted leverage ratio. The only reason they even have any earnings is because they adjust them into existence by ignoring things like capital spending, depreciation, interest on their gargantuan debt load, you know, all of their biggest operating expenses. If you don't count them, we make money. Oops, they don't make money. They're expected to burn cash for at least 18 months amid heavy capital expenditures. No, that 18-month number, this company has no conceivable path to profitability. I've been ringing this bell for years here. And again, not included in this article. And I haven't seen anybody else mention that. I'd love to hear why their revenue rose by $200 million, but their accounts receivable rose by $1.92 billion. Who owes them that $1.9 billion? Maybe, I'm sure a lot of it is Meta. But I bet you a lot of it isn't Meta. I bet you a lot of it is from shitco.ai, who doesn't make any money and is probably struggling to raise money right now. And accounts receivable growing at 5-6 times the rate of what revenue is growing at, that is a major accounting red flag from a company that is nothing but a gaggle of accounting red flags. CoreWeave stock this morning down 12%, $85.87. Which is only about $85.90 too high. This company is doomed. They have no conceivable path to profitability. One day, this company will go bankrupt. It's going to be probably pretty soon. And a lot of people are in for the I told you so of a freaking lifetime when that happens. Oh, wait, one more thing. Remember, guys, all of this crap is nothing but an unfounded conspiracy theory among Twitter randos. Bite me, Stacey Raskin. All right, where did all that money go? It went to Dell. Dell expects AI server revenue to double in fiscal 2027 on data center boom. It turns out when your customers don't care how much money they lose, that is really good for your business. Dell said it expects revenue from its key artificial intelligence optimized servers business to double in 2027 and promised to return more cash to shareholders, sending its shares surging 10% in extended trading. The company announced a 20% hike to its cash dividend and an additional $10 billion for its share repurchase program. Somebody's got to pay for that stock-based compensation, am I right? Might as well be our own shareholders. Dell expects AI server revenue to grow 103% to about $50 billion in fiscal 2027. The company said it has more than 4,000 AI server customers, including Elon Musk's AI startup xAI and CoreWeave. And there's that name again. Dell stock is ripping this morning, up 12%. That's the same 12% that CoreWeave lost, $136.51 for Dell stock. Also, shout out to Zero Hedge. This news just breaking this morning, OpenAI to raise $110 billion in a new investment at a $730 billion valuation. That $730 billion valuation has got to come as a disappointment. I'm sure all of the coverage in CNBC and Bloomberg is going to focus on the $110 billion, not the $730 billion valuation being lower than they were aiming for. This is the first time OpenAI has had to lower their price to get the money. The investors were Amazon at $50 billion, SoftBank at $30 billion, and NVIDIA at $30 billion. And Zero Hedge is correct to point out what happened to Abu Dhabi. Maybe sending a gay Jewish guy to the Middle East to talk to the Muslim Arab oil sheiks about investing in their company. Hey, look, do what you want, live how you want, but know your audience and read the room. Just maybe he wasn't the right guy to send. Maybe you want to send some. I just throw it out there. Anyways, Sam Altman came back from the Middle East empty-handed. And of course, his own suppliers and investors had to step up and give him the cash that he needs to burn on their products. More round-tripping. Yay. Meanwhile, Jack Dorsey's block to lay off 40% of its workforce in AI remake. Is this AI washing or is this real? Maybe some combination of the two. Block, the payments company founded by Jack Dorsey that includes Square and Cash App, said Thursday it plans to lay off 40% of its workforce, or more than 4,000 employees. Dorsey alluded to artificial intelligence tools as the reason for cuts in a letter to shareholders. And shortly after that on Twitter, he admitted that they hired way too many people during COVID. And now he didn't mention, oh, we lost half our money in Bitcoin, or that our, you know, we're a fintech company in an incredibly crowded space and other new entries are eating away our market share and Cash App is loaded with fraud. But no, it's AI is so cool. That's why we're cutting our company in half. The core thesis is simple, wrote Dorsey. Intelligence tools have changed what it means to build and run a company. Block has delivered mixed results in recent years as it faces tough competition. Square, which helps process payments for mostly small businesses, competes with payment firms large and small from Fiserv to Shopify to Toast. The company's operating expenses increased throughout 2025, in part because of Cash App's expanding lending products. A November research report from BTIG pointed to the possibility of the company being unsuccessful in controlling costs, which pressures operating margins. Block said Thursday most of the layoffs would occur in the first quarter of this year and be completed by the second quarter. It said it expects charges of $450 million to $500 million tied to those job cuts. Block stock is ripping on this news, up 17.3%. The stock market just loves layoffs, $63.97. Although, look, over the last year, Block stock is down 16.5%. Also, most of those losses coming since October, which is right around the time that Bitcoin topped. Hey, a lot of things going on here, but sure, let's just blame it all on AI. Meanwhile, Netflix drops their Warner Brothers bid, leaving Paramount the winner. That is the story. We're not going to read any further into this. There's been a lot of drama back and forth. It was looking like there might be a bidding war for Warner Brothers. Netflix says, nah, I'm out. Netflix stock is up 8.5% on this news, which is good because since announcing this acquisition, the stock has done nothing but fall. So it looks like Netflix shareholders are happy. Larry Ellison gets Warner Brothers. All right. Probably going to get another facelift too while he's at it. Good luck. Have fun. U.S. military shoots down a government drone in Texas accident, congressional aides say. Guys, remember it was just last month we were talking about, where was it in El Paso, Texas, how they closed all the airspace over El Paso because the military was using a laser to shoot down drones and the guy at the FAA was catching all kinds of flack because they said it was a knee-jerk reaction. Well, that guy at the FAA has got to be somewhat vindicated this morning. The U.S. military shot down a government drone with a laser-based anti-drone system, an accident that prompted the Federal Aviation Administration to bar flights on Thursday in an area around Fort Hancock, Texas, congressional aides told Reuters. Congressional aides told Reuters the Pentagon used the high-energy laser system to shoot down a Customs and Border Protection drone near the Mexican border in an area that often has incursions from Mexican drones used by drug cartels. We don't know. Drone could mean anything, guys. Drone could mean one of these little quadcopters that you can get on Amazon for, what, a few hundred bucks? Or it could mean like one of these big Predator Reaper things that's like several million dollars. We don't know what kind of drone it was. But apparently this laser works. It works well enough to scare the FAA. This is the second time the FAA has had to close U.S. airspace because of the military using a laser to shoot at drones. And, you know, look, we watched that drone attack in Ukraine that took out almost half of Russia's strategic bomber fleet because there was a cargo container full of drones that opened up and bombed an airfield. We saw the Israelis do something almost identical. Drones launched from a truck in Iran that took out a whole bunch of Iran's best air defenses, which they're probably going to need this afternoon. I think it's foolish to think that there are not already cargo containers full of drones just waiting for somebody in China or Mexico to hit a button. And when that happens, it's going to wreak havoc on U.S. aviation. And we have methods to combat them. They're obviously effective, as this story proves. But it's hard to tell the difference between an incoming hostile drone and a commercial aircraft or your own drone. This is going to make a mess. And, you know, this crap going on down in Mexico better be dealt with before whatever happens in the South China Sea, which is expected to happen sometime next year. It's a pretty short window to deal with that. Meanwhile, Anthropic rejects the latest Pentagon offer, escalating the AI feud. There's been a lot of drama back and forth about Anthropic lowering their safeguards. The story a few days ago was that Anthropic had dropped those standards, and now it looks like those standards are back on. So these are Schrodinger's AI safety standards. They are both on and off at the same time until we figure it out. Long story short here, guys, the Pentagon made an offer that was basically like, give me all of your AI without any guardrails and let me do whatever I want with it. And Anthropic said no. And Anthropic is risking hundreds of millions of dollars in government contracts here. Now, there's an interesting thing here. I just wanted to mention, if Anthropic fails to drop its conditions, the Defense Department has vowed to declare the company a supply chain risk, a move that would preclude it from working with other defense contractors. So they could lose business with Lockheed Martin, with Palantir, with anybody else if this doesn't go right. The Pentagon has also threatened to invoke the Cold War era Defense Production Act to use Anthropic software over the company's objections. The military might just take it. So this story is now a constitutional crisis in the making. At stake is up to $200 million in work that Anthropic has agreed to do for the military, along with contracts for other government agencies that could also be imperiled. And of course, the military is saying Dario Amodi wants to be in charge of what the military can and can't do. He's got a god complex. Dario Amodi is saying the military don't build Skynet. Maybe there's a little bit of truth to both of those here. This is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And this could affect the AI bubble if Anthropic loses these contracts. XAI would be just love to have them, though. And we've got another cockroach. We will have more to say about this story in the days ahead. But in the meantime, a new credit blow up in London has Wall Street chasing billions. As Market Financial Solutions hurtled toward collapse in London, the setting was new, but the theme felt familiar. Market Financial Solutions is the latest cockroach. Like U.S. auto lenders, Tricolor MFS was a non-bank finance firm looking to fill a gap that major banks had ignored or shunned, while tapping those same Wall Street giants for cash to do it. And like auto parts supplier First Brands Group, the banks took comfort in tangible collateral, only for accusations of double pledging to rattle that insurance. Whoops, collateral fraud again. Another cockroach. Even some of the names were the same. Banco Santander and Jefferies Financial Groups, both stung by First Brands in recent months, are once again scrambling to recoup whatever money they can from the embattled company. This time, they're alongside the likes of Apollo, Atlas, Barclays, Wells Fargo, and Castle Lake. All these private credit lenders all loan money. Jefferies and Santander, again, they lost money with First Brands. Now they're losing money with Market Financial Solutions. How'd you like to be one of the risk management guys at Jefferies? Thanks for coming to work today. Oh, man, these guys. Remember, they always assure us that we have very rigorous underwriting standards and our AI algorithms probably check for fraud, and somehow they managed to lose all this money anyway. My initial research, guys, apparently tied this blow up to a mortgage fraud scheme in Bangladesh, where these guys in Bangladesh working for the family of some government minister during COVID were going around to all these very poor villages signing people up or ostensibly signing them up for COVID relief programs, taking their IDs, going back to the city and starting fraudulent mortgages unbeknownst to these poor people, starting mortgages in their names. And Market Financial Solutions was the company that was underwriting those mortgages. And apparently, so you go from mortgage fraud in Bangladesh to this private credit firm in UK to all these US firms that are underwriting it. And they all assure us, don't worry, we're so good at checking for losses. And, you know, we don't loan money to just anybody. How do you confirm a mortgage in a poor village in Bangladesh? How do you not confirm it? How do you lend them money anyway? Well, this is what happens when the Fed prints money and rains it into the economy. They will loan to anyone and anyone. You get capital misallocation, you get fraud, and then this Bangladeshi corrupt mortgage scheme ends up blowing up a private credit firm in London, resulting in hundreds of millions of dollars of additional losses to U.S. firms who already lost a bunch of money with Tricolor and First Brands. Get used to these guys. You're going to see a lot more of them. And remember, Jamie Dimon with his cockroaches talking point. Keep in mind, Jamie Dimon's bank lent $50 billion to some of those same cockroaches. So all the banks did it. By the way, Apollo was one of the names that was mentioned in that article with exposure to MFS. Here's Apollo again. Their private credit fund marked down their portfolio of soured loans. A private credit fund overseen by Apollo Global Management cut its dividend and marked down the value of its assets amid signs of strain in parts of its loan book. MidCap Financial Investment Corp, a business development company, there's another BDC, focused on direct lending, lowered its quarterly payout to 31 cents a share from 38 cents a share, and wrote down its portfolio by about 3%. Those are rookie numbers. You got to bump those up. They cited weakness in a handful of older investments and a reassessment of its long-term earnings power as interest rates shift. Net investment income edged up to 39 cents a share from 38 cents a share. Yeah, okay, your investment income is up, and that's why you're writing down the value of your loans. Okay. Now, there's a whole bunch of paragraphs about how this is all the Citrini BS. By the way, Citrini may find himself in the SEC's crosshairs for that article, because it turns out the author of that Citrini article was a hedge fund manager, and they didn't disclose that their company had shorts in all the companies that were mentioned in that article. Whoops. Citrini, you got some splaining to do. Shout out to Annie Stottle on X, by the way, who exposed that one in a Substack post. But yeah, they're saying, no, don't worry, it was all software companies. That's why this private credit firm is losing money. But during the fourth quarter, MFIC placed investments in scooter company Bird Rides, Banner Solutions, and Renovo on non-accrual status, meaning the fund no longer expects to collect interest on them. None of those are software companies, guys. None of them are software companies. Renovo, that's the private credit roll-up of HVAC companies, or the private equity roll-up of HVAC companies. They are most likely going bankrupt or already filed for bankruptcy. I forget which it was, but we've heard of Renovo. We've covered them on this channel. Bird Rides. You ever been driving through the city and you see those rental scooters just like dropped on the side of the road and like all banged up and destroyed? Yet Bird Rides, that company's not going to pay their loans back. You can look at the way those scooters are treated in the cities and tell that company was never going to make money. The lender said losses tied to the restructuring of Lending Point and valuation declines in Amplity, Cryonhago, Bird Rides, and Kaufman resulted in a $29 million of net unrealized losses for the year. Only one of those companies does software, by the way. Out of like seven companies that were just mentioned, one of them was a software company. It also recorded $47 million of net realized losses on investments during the period. All right, so look, this whole narrative that private credit is going bad because of software, I mean, yes, software companies are going bad, but so is everything else that private credit invested in. All right. This Bangladeshi mortgage fraud had nothing to do with AI and software. It was just stupid people lending money and not being careful who they lent to. Same thing going with all these names here in Apollo, guys. And remember, as this is happening, these are the very same assets that are being dumped into your pension, IRA, and 401k, all in the name of democratizing finance. Know what you own, guys, and be careful. There's just not enough gold in the world for what's coming. And I would just like to say thank you so much to the pasta man who said, nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw that coming. Yep, say it. Say the line. Nobody saw that coming. Yep, okay, there we go. Yep, nobody saw that one coming. Yeah, I've been warning you guys. I'm assuming this was in the context of CoreWeave. I've been warning you guys about this for years, and everybody's like, oh, but NVIDIA stock go up, and that proves this whole like accounting fraud thing was fake. No, it doesn't. It just proves you're too stupid to buy it anyway. And now, well, now you got to deal with the fallout of it. Thank you very much, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel, sir. Also, Hunt and Cover, member for 24 months, says 2-year tinfoil hat time. I am getting one. I got to warn you, Hunt and Cover, this thing is a chick magnet. You will be fighting them off with a stick if you wear this thing in public. Yep, it's a regular Axe body spray in that regard. Thank you, Hunt and Cover, very much for your support of the channel. Hey, check out the store link down below in YouTube where you too can be the proud owner of a tinfoil hat. Hey, by the way, thanks again, Hunt and Cover. Nacho Man, darn third. Yep, you got to be a little quicker on the draw, Nacho Man. But you know what? You were first the last 2 days, so you got a couple of golds to go with your bronze. Well, I won't go. I think we can forgive that this time. Thank you, Nacho Man, for your support of the channel. I appreciate that very much. Lollipop, Jolly Lollipop, says, aren't you worried you might be hurting Jensen Huang's feelings with your constant castigation? I am quite the castigator. The little guy has enough problems even before he tunes into your show for his daily lambasting. Yeah, I know. The poor guy, he's not even in the top 10 richest people in the world anymore. He fell out of the top 10. We should have a telethon for him. Maybe we could get that Sarah McLachlan song from the pet commercials. We could play that. And, you know, for just 60 cents a day, you could help Jensen Huang buy a new leather jacket for him to wear at his TED Talks. Won't somebody stop the humanity? Yep. Let's just say I'm not particularly worried about Jensen Huang's feelings. Yeah, that guy, I mean, he will be Sam Bankman-Fried by the end of this decade. Let's just put it that way. I don't know if he'll be in prison or not. There's certainly a case for it. I mean, he is responsible directly for the largest accounting fraud in human history, which will wreak untold havoc on the finances of hundreds of millions of innocent, maybe even billions of innocent people. But yeah, his name will be mud, mark my words. Thank you, Jolly Lollipop, for supporting the channel. PP Poo Poo, Mr. 4P says he's long core weaving NVIDIA. Thanks, Jack. Gross. All right, man. Don't forget to take a shower. Look, guys, let's do the disclosure thing. I am not short CoreWeave, mainly because I believe NVIDIA will buy CoreWeave to avoid the headline risk of their bankruptcy. That's my tinfoil hat theory for the year. But I am short NVIDIA. I've been short NVIDIA since it was like the end of November, early December. I don't remember the exact date. But I've been short NVIDIA for a couple of months here. NVIDIA's done nothing but trade sideways since I've gone short. So it's not like I'm like making money hand over fist here. But I really do think the bottom is going to fall out from underneath this company any day now. That is a very dangerous trade. I am staring at the biggest bull market in history and betting it's going to stop. So don't follow me into this trade. That's not what we do here, guys. I don't make trade recommendations. I'm just making the disclosure to see why my own A, and also to not be a dirtbag. That's how ethics works. So anyway, thank you, Mr. 4Ps, for supporting the channel. Cameron Jenkins 5304 says, CoreWeave, you called it, Jack. What a mess. You know, yeah, I did call it that it is a mess and that this company is doomed. But I would also point out that CoreWeave, even after this loss, is still trading somehow more than double its IPO valuation, which was already drunk and insane as it is. I mean, there is so much stupidity yet to unwind in this market, guys. Don't think because you're down 20, 15, 20% from all-time highs that the bottom is in and that these stocks are suddenly cheap. CoreWeave is still overvalued by roughly 100.00%. All right. And if you count the debt, probably even more than that. But don't worry, there's plenty of exit liquidity for Magnetar Capital and for CoreWeave executives. They have sold billions of dollars worth of stock since that IPO, more and more every day. Thank you, Cameron, for supporting the channel, sir. Mr. Freckles73 says, aren't tariffs intended to raise prices of imports and make domestic products more attractive? Yes, that is the sale price, the sales pitch. I'm an orange man, bad kind of girl, but a former UAW. All right, so I can tell like the UAW is like one of the arguably, if anybody benefits from the tariffs, UAW members, but an orange man bad. So it's kind of hard to rectify those. And that's like the identity crisis that I think has happened. And that's like, if we're, like not to be like opinionated political, but that's been one of the ways President Trump has thrown a monkey wrench into politics is when he doubled down on the forgotten man, and in particular the Rust Belt, all states that he won, by the way. It was traditionally an area where Republicans did very poorly because Republicans like Mitt Romney, perfect example at Bain Capital, have been on the private equity, let's loot American manufacturing at the expense of working Americans. And then Donald Trump came in and just like completely turned that on its head. It's not to say he didn't make plenty of other mistakes and step on, you know, make silly, like all the other things about him. I mean, but, you know, reflected in this comment, you can see how he has turned American politics upside down, one of the ways. And yes, the whole point of the tariffs was to raise the prices on imports so that domestic products become more attractive. And eventually, mind you, the pain gets here first. Eventually, you get more U.S. production. But that's not what he said. He said China was going to pay the tariffs. And that's not true. The tariffs get passed on to the consumer. You'll be able to see it very soon here. You're seeing it in PPI, PPI front run CPI. Consumer prices will go higher because of the tariffs. And it is dishonest and, in my opinion, politically stupid to claim otherwise in the press, because you're talking to people like they're idiots. And I don't think that's a good idea. I think that's bad politics. Thank you, Freckles, for supporting the channel. Nacho Man, gifted 20 Nobody Special memberships. Thank you so much, Nacho Man, for supporting the channel. Welcome to the Melon Packs, 20 more. Nacho Man, you are single-handedly swelling the ranks. Thank you, sir, very much. I appreciate that. And everybody, be sure and say thank you to Nacho Man in the comments as well. Vandalay Industries CEO, where I've always wanted to pretend I was an architect, he said the Fed can't cut unless crash. Rest in peace, risk assets. Fed can't cut. Well, when we saw that higher PPI today, I mean, prospects for more Fed cuts this year just got a hell of a lot worse, all right? When PPI is trending up, it suggests CPI is going to start trending up, and that means you can't cut, all right? Now, that being said, risk assets are kind of garbage right now, right? We're watching private credit firms write down finally after years of extend and pretend and mark-to-myth accounting. Finally, private credit's starting to book the losses. They're gating investment withdrawals. So you are going to see this risk off, which is going to be very bearish for asset prices. So what happens when you get like a liquidity event and an asset price sell-off at the same time inflation is going in the wrong direction? Oh, that's the stagflation of the 1970s, Don, not to mention the higher unemployment, which is the technical definition of stagflation. Yeah, all that stuff could be happening simultaneously, which means the Fed doesn't have any good options other than stop printing the effing money already. I just throw it out there. You guys do what you want with it. I know. I'm crazy conspiracy theorist. Stop printing money. What a freaking concept. Thank you very much, Mr. Arthur Vandalay. Nashville Pasta Man's back again, says U.S. spy drones disguised as a Chinese weather balloon. How'd you like to be that F-22 pilot who's, you know, he's too young to have ever been in like an air-to-air combat, but he's got that balloon painted on his jet because he's got the air-to-air kill when he shot down that balloon that was drifting at about 5 knots with an AIM-9 Sidewinder. How'd you like to be that guy at the bar where all the fighter pilots hanging out like, hey, yeah, he's an ace. He shot down more balloons than anybody. Well, how'd you like to be that laser operator who's now shot down a U.S. drone? Well, look, guys, friendly fire, it's easy. It's easy to get it wrong. You know, when you see a blip on your screen, it's not nice enough to have a flag next to it where it comes from. Thank you, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel. Armando Reyes says, how many negative quarters have we had lately? How many negative quarters are we talking about? We talking about like a block, and I think it was like 6 or 7 straight negative quarters. I don't know, but, you know, a lot of companies are doing that, and, you know, everybody's – The cover story, I think we're kind of like going along the lines of the software story and the AI doomerism, AI washing the layoffs. A lot of companies are laying people off right now, and most of them are saying because they expect to save money with AI. But at the same time, the executive surveys that are being done all say none of these companies have had any measurable effect on their top or bottom lines from the use of AI. So how can both of these things be true? They can't. I think it's more likely that these companies are blowing smoke up our ass, and that really these companies are laying people off because their business is struggling, because the economy has been in a recession since 2022, even though nobody wants to admit it. And that's why they're laying people off. That, and they hired too many people during COVID. Maybe there are, or they hope to achieve some efficiency at a later date with AI, but none of them have done it yet, at least not to any measurable extent that shows up in any earnings. Thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel. Jermaine Mitchell, 2375. Thank you, Jermaine. Give my regards to Tito and Michael. He says, do politicians not see the tsunami of econ coming? No, they do not. I think they're trying to gird and to steel themselves against this tsunami of econ that's coming with a wall of money printing. I think that will be their answer. And that's why there's just not enough gold in the world for what's coming. I think they will try to print their way out of this once again, not realizing it's the money printing that's causing this. But hey, you know, to think our financial system and our politicians learn their lesson, I guess, you know, there's no reason to suspect they would suddenly start doing that. Thank you very much, Jermaine, for supporting the channel, though, sir. FinSport1 says, oh, he doesn't say much. He's just a new member supporting the channel. Thank you very much, FinSport, for the support. I appreciate that very much, guys. Don't forget, new members get a free Super Chat every month. Use that, and I will read and respond to your questions, thoughts, concerns, comments live on the air. Thanks again, Finsport. Steve Woitis says, TFH, imagine if the next killer app for AI is the remove AI-generated crap from social media app, the slot mop. That's the name for it, all right? Somebody put a patent on that. I want a nickel every time somebody says it. We will call it the slot mop. By the way, that was totally improvised. I think that was pretty good. Don't you think, Steve? It is a great idea, by the way. Kind of a conflict of interest, don't you think? I don't know if that's a conflict of interest, but I love that idea. Something that goes through the internet and removes slop. All right, think about how much YouTube would pay for that right now. YouTube is struggling like crazy because there is an entire industry, AI silver guy or Asian guy, that just creates garbage fake content to try to milk AdSense revenue from YouTube, from Google AdSense. And YouTube sponsors, the people buying these ads, don't want this crap happening. So YouTube is going around demonetizing these channels like crazy, forcing a lot of them to try to cut brand deals with gold dealers. And I think YouTube would love an app that's capable of doing that. The problem is it's a whack-a-mole approach. Every time you crack down on something with a new rule, they find the loophole, they change it up just a little bit, which is where the Asian avatar came from. They tried to make it look less like AI slop by having a face attached to it. That's a good idea, Steve. Again, slot mop. I want a nickel every time somebody says it. Thank you for supporting the channel, sir. EJ Walsh 877 says, fractional reserve banking. Your $1 equals $10 equals 1 cent. Sounds like a great deal for them and, well, not such a great deal for us, is it? That is right. I mean, who was the quote? Was it Henry Ford, I think, had the quote who said it's probably better that the average person doesn't understand how the banking system works because there would be a run on the banks tomorrow if they did? Yeah, I think some people started to learn a little bit about how the banking system worked in 2023 in the first quarter with Silicon Valley Bank. And a lot of people, unfortunately, learned how the banking system worked in 2029. Yeah, or not 1929, sorry. 2029 hasn't happened yet, if my calculations are correct. Thank you, EJ Walsh, for supporting the channel, sir. And who's crypto? This guy is crypto, apparently. Hey, who's crypto? Thank you so much for becoming a YouTube member. Welcome to the Melonhead, sir. And as it happens, for you magnanimous Melonheads, today is Friday, which means our weekly get-together for a Q&A on Zoom is at 2 p.m. Eastern time today. So I will be posting and sending that link out shortly. Check out the links down below if you want to sign up for that one. Thank you very much, Who's Crypto. Welcome to the Melonhead, sir. Thank you for supporting the channel. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button. Don't forget your tickets to George Noble's Best Stock Ideas Summit on March 11th, where I'll be ripping. I will be presenting. Sorry, I got to remember to breathe when I'm talking. Appreciate all the super chats and the support of the channel, guys. Thank you very much. I'll see you guys at 2 p.m. today for our weekly get-together on Zoom. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.